Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in. It's the morning shift. Mike, Allie, Bo, Dylan. We are commiserating. We are trying to shed the emotions from yesterday. I don't know that it's working thus far. Hopefully it's working for you guys out in the car right now. Weather's about reflective of how we feel as a fan base. Just really just doom and gloom. Really dreary. Kind of is what it is. 404-726-0929.
It's also a sad day because I have to take my Jeep back today.
Oh.
And I was, you know, really enjoying that Jeep. It was a nice Jeep. Actually, I found out it's not a Jeep Wrangler. It's a Jeep Sahara.
Really?
Yeah.
Which I think is a version of a Jeep
Wrangler. It's just like,
Souped up version.
It's like an FX4 is still an F-150.
Yeah, my truck's Denali version of the 2500.
Yeah, but it's okay. That's just the addition.
I don't blame you, though. That seems like something, you kind of have to learn along the way.
Yeah. I was looking at it this morning. I was like, dang, that's a nice car.
It is. Wish I could afford it, but, you know, hey, it'd be like this sometimes.
404-726-0929. Just 2 minutes. We're going to take all you guys' phone calls. Let us know your emotions coming off of the Falcons' loss yesterday.
Here is what you need to know before you clock in this morning. The World Series is split between the Blue Jays and Dodgers 1-1. Series moves to L.A. tomorrow for Game 3. Saturday, the Hawks fell to the Thunder 117-100. They play again tonight against the Bulls in Chicago. LSU's head coach, Brian Kelly, has been dismissed after losing to Texas A&M 49-25. His buyout is over $54 million just to take a hike. Good for him.
Yeah.
Packers beat the Steelers last night 35-25 in Sunday Night Football. I know those uniforms were throwbacks, but those things are hideous. Absolutely hideous.
Highlighters. They spilled the highlighters all over the field yesterday.
Real quick.
Absolutely terrible.
As far as Steelers uniforms go, what was worse, last night or the Bumblebees?
The Bumblebees. Oh, my gosh. That's got to be the worst uniform combination ever put on an NFL field.
Yeah.
I would take the one last night three times over the Bumblebees.
Really?
Just god-awful.
I don't know what the thinking was behind the pants combination with those jerseys last night. It's like it didn't even match to me.
Well, that's because that's what they look like. They're like a throwback from like the 40s. That's our 30 or whatever the
38,
Steelers.
I believe.
Yeah, that's what they look like. So it was inaccurate. It wasn't some new alternate or any color rush or anything. It was a throwback.
If that's what my seamstress looked like in 1938, she would have been fired. It is time for the wake up call, 404-726-0929. I know we probably have full phone lines. I just gotta say, let's have some nuance in here. If you're calling for Raheem's job, then call for his job. All right, I'm so ready to dive deeper. Maybe it's because I've already gotten it off my chest. Either way, looking forward to hearing from the people right here. So let's go straight to the phone lines. Let's welcome in Dalton from Woodstock. Dalton, what'd you think, man? What's going on?
Hey, guys, I appreciate you taking my call. I'm so frustrated with this team. It feels like they have all the talent in the world right now. They got the guys to do what they need to do. But it's just week in and week out. It's the same song, different verse. It's unbelievable how poorly managed and how poorly coached this team is. I mean, I feel like guys are just, we're so predictable. There's no sense of urgency, and then don't even get me started on the clock management. I mean, I don't even think Raheem Morris has a concept of time at the moment. And it's just like, I don't understand what the front office is seeing, and you know, it's time to make a change. You got to blow this thing up before you miss the runway with some of these guys that are in their prime. You know, and you know, to mention it too, when you blow it up, go ahead and change the unis. You know, get him back to the throwback. Make everybody happy.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Dalton. I think we all kind of feel a lot of the same sentiment, and he's just kind of throwing it out there. Like, let's go ahead and change the uniforms as well. I don't know. Like, the whole thing with I don't know what the front office is seeing, but we've got all this talent. I think that's where I'm kind of mixed up. That's where I'm kind of divided. Like, either Terry Fontenot is seeing a lot of talent and acquiring a lot of talent, and we have a lot of talent, and he's not to blame, or we don't have much talent, and that's Terry Fontenot's fault. But then it's not really Raheem's as much. You know what I mean? It's kind of like somewhere in the middle.
Yes, I don't know. And that's the thing is, like, you know, I think we have talent for how we're built. But the problem is if we don't continue to stay ahead of the game with how we're built up front on both sides of the football, then we're not going to look very talented.
Yeah, I
know
agree
it sounds
that.
That sounds like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. But I think we're built as a finesse team, and as you've pointed out before, and unless we scheme and try and when someone solves it, we find a way to get back ahead, we're just going to get drilled into the ground with that finesse.
The things that we should be good at, we don't even attempt to do. Like, we have an athletic offensive line. Okay, great. Let's get these guys out in space, make some blocks. Nah, we'll just keep running wide zone. It didn't work last time, man. We'll just try it again, though. Maybe Charlie Warner, just one more gap over to the left or the right. We'll try it that way, and we'll see if that happens. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Jason over in Marietta. Jason, what'd you think yesterday, buddy?
I am so unbelievably pissed off at this organization. I'm tired of every Sunday putting on my dang Falcons hat, Falcons shirt, and just sitting there waiting for them to embarrass me, embarrass the rest of their fan base over and over and over again. You know, everybody wants to talk about the Jets organization and the Dolphins organization and the Bears. You know, we are those organizations. We are a freaking clown show from top to bottom. Arthur Blank, you know, he's done a lot of great things for this city, but he is embarrassing himself. He's tarnishing his legacy. If it wasn't for dang college football, that billion-dollar stadium would never see actual football games.
Yeah.
And I don't trust anybody in that facility to make a decision. I don't trust Blank to make a football decision. I don't trust the janitor that he's going to remember to put trash bags in the trash cans after practice. Yeah. There's nobody there that knows what they're doing.
I think we get the point.
I can assure you that there are trash bags put in after practice. I've been there.
I struggle with the Arthur Blank thing. Like, what more is Arthur Blank supposed to do?
Well, it's just you know what I mean? It's you're the head of the ship.
You're the owner,
right? And owners
you're the top
get
of the, top
like,
of the heap.
I think the reality is that he gets heat on. In some ways, to me, unfairly, because if you go to other cities and you look at other owners, I mean, Arthur Blank has misstepped with words before, like, you know, Julio's going to be a Falcon for life.
Yeah.
But he's never went into an interview and said, well, if the quarterback could complete a pass, we might be okay. Or, you know, he's never done anything like that, quite like that. I mean, you can argue about who decided Deshaun Watson had to be here and why that whole debacle went down.
Yeah. I didn't end well.
But overall, he's not made the missteps that some of these owners have had, and he's trying to put a winning product on the
field. That's my thing. Like, I think as an owner, you're supposed to give your organization everything that they could possibly need in order to be successful. I think he's done that. Like, he's done more than that. He's tried to put the right pieces in place, just hasn't worked.
And as soon as there came out that the report that, like, hey, the locker room is not up to par, the weight room is what happened? Construction.
Immediately made a change.
Yeah. So,
all right, let's go back to the phone lines. Just try to get a couple more of these in. Let's talk to Sam. Sam is in Southwest Atlanta. What's going on?
Good morning, Squid Nation. I love the last caller. I feel like this. The common denominator with the Falcons losing is Arthur Blank. He's a great man, but I feel like he has too many friends around him, Sam.
Like, why is Arthur Blank at the center of this?
I feel like Rich McKay is still running this organization.
Okay, so is it Arthur Blank's fault or Rich McKay's fault, though? That's my next question.
If he's the head of the ship, he's making the decision. As a business owner, anytime I have all my staff members make a mistake, I get blamed for it. Arthur Blank has to take accountability. This we got a proven loser as a head coach, a proven loser as an offensive coordinator. We're putting them out there, and we're paying all of this money to park downtown and go in here and have a horrible experience. I don't care if the food is cheap. I went up there and I got cold hot dogs, man. That stuff sucks. That fan experience sucks. And I feel like.
All right. Yeah. Real quick. No.
Get it off your chest, man.
The Rich McKay stuff has got to end. Like, Rich McKay is not making decisions. He's not sitting in Flowery Branch telling Terry Fontenot who to draft and telling Raheem Morris who to hire as his OC.
I just never understand it. Where does it come from? What is the Rich McKay? Like, what does he have to do with anything?
Because they. But you know why? Because he sits next. I do believe that Rich McKay is, for one, running the United. So that's that's a whole nother thing. But Rich still, he's also on the competition committee in the NFL. So yeah, he goes to the games. He goes to NFL games. I mean, he goes to the Falcons games. But people see him in the box. I didn't see him yesterday in the booth or in the box with Arthur, but they see him in there and they're like, oh see?
Yeah.
He's telling Arthur what to do.
He must be the football mind behind Arthur Blank's decision.
And it's just like,
yeah, look,
I think,
man,
Arthur Blank's capable of making good and bad decisions with or without Rich McKay. Look at his track record as far as a business owner.
I was going to say, as a business owner, he's done just fine. I mean, the NFL is printing money right now, as is everything else he's ever touched.
Look, the heyday of Falcons football, if you want to say there was one, was the Matt Ryan era. That was under Arthur Blank's regime.
Rich McKay.
The Smith family was a debacle.
Like I said, we're not here to tell people how to feel. I think everybody's right to be angry. I just want it to be pointed in the right direction. I guess if you want to blame Arthur Smith for hiring Raheem Morris, then that's your prerogative. Let's go to try to get one more phone call in. Let's go out to Felix over in East Point. What's going on, Felix?
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
Hey,
Mike Mafia.
Point.
You know?
Yes, sir.
Sorry about that.
You good?
I'm just really disappointed in our fan base, just with the calls for Arthur Blank, for one. Like, he's been a great owner. Like, he's given us every opportunity, right? I'm not even mad at Terry, because I think Terry's done a pretty good job of working with what he's had and, like, you know, getting the right groceries. My issue has always been the play calling. It goes back to week one. How many times were we in the red zone in that game? And Michael Penix has success despite the play calling.
Yeah.
And it's just been progressive over the past couple of weeks. We've just seen it. Like, I've been calling for it. Like, who was scapegoated in week one? Then you have we beat a weak Minnesota team.
Right. Yeah.
And we have 8 sacks, which is unprecedented for us. So we get distracted by the 8 sacks, but we still only beat the team like 22 to whatever it was.
Completely
I can't even
agree.
Remember what it was.
Completely agree.
And
I think it's.
And
I
we're
think it's
not talking. Exactly. We're not talking. We weren't talking about the issue. Then we get the huge wake up call when we play Carolina, where we couldn't move the ball. That's a divisional opponent. They know us. They have the tape on us.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be completely honest with you, when you look at how Carolina handled it.
We got to let you go. Sorry, we do have to go to break.
The problem for me is you did move the ball in that game. You've moved the ball in every game until yesterday. You just can't score points.
But I think there was offensive. I think even coming after Buffalo, did we not sitting here after the Buffalo game and say, man, Drake London was targeted 16 times. We can't keep that up.
I'm not saying that. I'm not disagreeing with you there. But you are the reality is you have moved the football. You just aren't scoring points.
That's what he said, red zone efficiencies.
But the problem is yesterday you didn't move the football. You didn't. I mean, you had 30 plays through the first 3 quarters. That's 10 plays a quarter. You're not going to win any football game that way. Yesterday was the complete meltdown of all meltdowns this season. I don't care how many points you lost to Carolina by. You looked better against Carolina than you did yesterday.
This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Also, reminder to join us the morning shift every Friday for the Tailgate at Home. It's presented by Publix. Bo will fire up the grill, share his favorite game day recipes, and you can share your best work on the grill by tweeting at the morning shift. It's the Tailgate at Home presented by Publix. Feed your fandom, feel the hype this year with Publix. Coming up, former Falcons QB, now analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network.
Analyst.
Dave Archer will be joining us next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Survivor means a new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we break down the game like nobody else can, from how the season is built to why the players make the moves they do. It is the ultimate companion to the show. So if you love Survivor, I think you're going to love On Fire. Follow and listen to On Fire with Jeff Probst on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
App. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. We've been talking all morning about this Falcons loss to the Dolphins yesterday, 34-10. So we're going to bring in Dave Archer now, former Falcons QB and analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network.
Analyst.
Our conversation with Arch. A little delayed there, guys. Our conversation with Arch is presented by John Foy and Associates. Experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. Dave, obviously it was a rough go of it for the Falcons yesterday. They just couldn't seem to get going. If you're Raheem, what is priority number one today to get back on track?
Well, first of all, you got to get those guys up to speed. They look like us trying to convert on a third down right there. I don't know what they're doing.
Hey, man, we're doing our best today. Okay?
My microphone was off, so it was kind of like a few players yesterday.
Yeah,
it's I don't know if you can overanalyze or if you underanalyze, Allie. You know, when you begin to look at, do you look at pieces of the game? Can you find an idea there that, okay, this is where we lost the game? Okay, the inability to convert, stay on the field on offense. You know, why were you unable to convert on third down and fourth down? I think you were four of 15 in conversion situations. You kind of combined third and fourth down. That's an area that they've been pretty good in and been able to stay on the field. Now, we know about their inability to maybe cash things in the red zone, but for the most part, they've been able to move the ball from 20 to 20. Yesterday, they didn't do that. They couldn't even stay on the field. So I guess I would try to get into the minutiae of what was it that went. Because we can look big picture and say, okay, the offensive coordinator needs to be fired, the head coach needs to be fired. And that's not going to fix your problems. You know, you're still going to have some problems. And what are the execution problems? So I'd probably dive in there, Allie. That's where I would look at. Because I thought the defense did some good things yesterday. Certainly they ran the ball with some effectiveness. They ran the ball for over 140 yards, and that's not what you're looking at. But that might be because they faced 38 minutes of offensive football. You know, if you trim that back to 30 minutes of football, how many yards does Miami run for in the game? So really, to me, you got to look at the offense and how is the offense operating and why are we unable to convert on third down and fourth down in this game to give us an opportunity to have the ball for 60, 65 plays and balance up that time of possession and give us more opportunities to score.
Arch, I'll let you and Mike talk about the run game situation because I think that's more suited for him. For me, though, I want to talk about the passing attack. Am I wrong that there's not enough in-breaking routes, you know, stuff across the middle, get guys the ball on the run, and, you know, like with Darnell, and I think even Pitts is set up that way. It just feels like there's nothing that gets the ball to our playmakers on the run in the passing game.
No, I'd agree with that, Bo. I think that certainly, and you go away wanting when you only run 49 plays. And so I kept saying it early on in the game, you don't even know what the game plan is, because I think we ran 17 plays in the first half. And I'm kind of throwing my hands in the air. What is the game plan? What are we trying to do? Just weren't on the field long enough to really kind of figure out what the plan was to attack Miami, because you struggled to move them in the run game. They did a couple of things to run behind blocks and stuff. They tried to go downhill against the run game early on. And did that dissuade you from running it? It can't. You have to stay with it. You got to continue to try to pound it. Because they didn't feel like they were running away from you from a score. Now, I did later. The score started to get a little bit ballooned. But, you know, even in the first drive of the third quarter, or I don't know if the first drive or the second drive, where Bijan lays the ball on the ground, I mean, you're down 17-3, but you're moving the ball. You've had a couple of really good plays. You had the screen to Bijan that was 17 yards. You had another nice – even the run that he fumbles the football on, you hit him for about 6 or 7 yards on the play, and so you push the ball down in the red zone. You score there at 17-10. You know, does that change the complexion of the game? Does that change – it certainly makes you feel a little bit better about your offense. It keeps you on the field a little bit more, and, again, it takes away some of the stress of your defense. But get back to your original question – I'd have to go back and look at this game. If you look at the entirety of the season, I would like to see some, you know, Darnell Mooney get the ball on a move. Can you get him the ball on a shallow drag? Can you do some of the stuff? And I know, Mike, you talked about this a lot in the post game, and I thought it was really accurate in that I thought Mike McDaniel did some really good stuff. I said it in the broadcast. I thought there was some really good stuff. He almost took the game out of Tua's hands. Now, Tua played well yesterday, but he didn't really allow him to make a mistake. He had, like, it was a one read type situation. They had screens. They widened Achan, brought him back underneath the offensive line and middle screens. I know you've been calling that for a while, but there were some really cool designs. There was a couple of cool that his first touchdown to Achan, where he slips out through that, what was it, the B gap on the backside, and slips out of the right flat, and it looks like he's going to roll to the left, and he throws back for a touchdown. There was some really cool stuff that really had Atlanta off balance defensively. And I didn't see that from us.
Well, I want to dive into that a little bit deeper. And, Arch, you're spot on. And you know, I talked about the throw to Achan where he inserts in the B gap and leaks out on the backside. Caden, there's like a little mesh route, a little rub, and Caden can't get there. I think a lot of the story of this game on both sides, Falcons and Miami, can be told by the linebackers. I think that J.D. Bertrand and Caden Ellis were very hesitant to kind of flow downhill because you knew that Tua eventually was going to hit you right over the top of the linebackers, and he does that to Jalen Waddle. And I think on the flip side, right from the very beginning, Miami is triggering downhill immediately with Bijan in the backfield and stuff in our wide zone stuff. And I guess the question I have for you is, if you were, you know, designing more wrinkles, how would that look in a Dave Archer offense, and how can we get that done? Because we still have, what, 10 games left on this schedule.
Yeah, and I would agree with you that. I mean, I think that they mirrored what the Niners were able to have success with. Certainly against our defense, some of their interior run stuff mirrored what they were doing with Christian McCaffrey. On the other side of the ball, offensively, they certainly look like the 49ers coming down. As soon as it looked like Bijan Robinson was going to touch the ball, linebackers were triggered and they were coming downhill. They weren't even respecting the ball being pulled out. Well, so Mike, it's simple. A simple scenario is I've got to make things look like what we've been running in the first 7 games of the year, and I got to have counters off of that. So if I'm flashing run, wide zone run, I've got to have play fake off of that where I get the ball out quickly. And that's what Mike McDaniel was doing, is he was showing certain looks and then the ball was coming out the other direction. So I've got to show flow one way and then be able to throw the ball backside, or whether it's an RPO where I'm riding the belly of the back and then I'm throwing in behind the linebackers on what Bo was talking about on some of those crossing routes that are in that intermediate area. Those are you said it last night and it almost took the words out of my mouth. The last 2 weeks, you've seen stuff that works in our offense that I would insert right away with the success that the two teams have had against our defense.
Arch, real quick, I want to ask about the defensive side, and primarily the fact that you've seen 2 weeks in a row teams run inside against you. We knew that was coming, and didn't feel like we did a – I think we knew it was coming. I think we prepared for it, but we couldn't stop it still. What do you do? How do you stop teams from running inside on you based, because we know we're lighter up front, but is there something schematically that you think we could look at doing to stop teams from running the football like they are against us inside?
Well, short of guys, you know, swelling up and being a little bit more stout at the point of attack, you know, Mike will tell you that, you know, you're going to have to commit more guys to the run game. Now, it makes you vulnerable in the back end. And so do you start doing what teams are doing to us, where you're as soon as they show run action, you're bringing your linebackers downhill? What happens if you can't get immediate pressure off of a play fake? Jaylen Waddle catches the ball in behind the linebackers and runs 43 yards for a touchdown. So that's where the offense gets damned if you do, damned if you don't scenario. You've got to be able to stop your run with that front six, front seven, without having to blitz the run game. Because if you do, again, you've exposed the back end of your defense. So there's some work to be done. But I do think that the run game and what they were able to do in the run game is profoundly bigger deal because of our ineffectiveness on offense. And I think that that's one thing that will help the defense, is if the offense can be more effective, your defense isn't on the field as much. They're not as exposed to all these different potential threats that another team can exhibit on you. So to me, the best remedy to defend the other team's run game is our offense staying on the field and doing what we do.
Well, Dave, we appreciate the insight as always. I think we're all looking forward to turning the page on this one.
Rough one.
Yeah, hang in there. Hang in there. Don't let Bo give any analogies. He starts to get sideways at some of this stuff. So.
We'll talk to you Friday, Arch. Thanks again.
See you guys. See you guys. Take care.
He's got to be referencing the NASCAR analogy you tried to make earlier, right? Like 100%. Thank you for listening, Arch.
What? What? Wait, is this like a debacle? Like you just wanted that game to get over as quick as
could? Yeah, I don't know. You were talking about somebody running like a lap behind and buzzing by.
Yeah, you're just turning laps. That's what that game felt like. We were just like, at this, the fourth quarter, I was like, can we just go to running clock? Can we just call the fourth quarter?
I'm glad that Arch was listening long enough to hear that. That makes my day.
Well, that was Dave Archer, former Falcons QB and analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network.
He's got to give us a gap. Anyways.
You can join Dukes and Bell for a special edition of their show this Thursday as they broadcast live from Metro Bottle on Marietta Boulevard in Atlanta. Come on in and stock up for the weekend while joining Dukes and Bell as they preview the week's biggest college pro and football matchups. That's Dukes and Bell, again, live this Thursday from 2 to 6 at Metro Bottle on Marietta Boulevard in Atlanta. Coming up, one last chance to get your feelings out. We've got this therapy session. One more session left. 404-726-0929. Dylan will take your calls. And we've got a Life of Squid.
Yeah, I did. I think I've officially became a dad. And I'll tell you, like, it's I'm in full dad mode now, and I'll tell you why. Next morning show, Sports Radio 929 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Survivor means a new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we break down the game like nobody else can, from how the season is built to why the players make the moves they do. It is the ultimate companion to the show. So if you love Survivor, I think you're going to love On Fire. Follow and listen to On Fire with Jeff Probst on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass, and this hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today. Start packing. I do want to mention before we get to Falcons, if you're heading into work right now, go slow.
Yeah, it's rough out there. We can't even see the skyline from where we're sitting right here.
Your manager would much rather you get there safe than get there fast and on time. Like, get there 5 minutes late. It's okay. It's
if
okay.
That's not true, you need a different job.
This is your sign.
Yes. Yeah, I completely agree. This whole show is like, it's been just a kumbaya session. Just wrap our arms around one another and just make ourselves feel a little bit less bad than we did yesterday.
Do you know why this song is the perfect song to rejoin with here in this final segment?
Why is that?
It's because it's a Drake song, one. And this song is called In My Feelings, and the Falcons have had us in our feelings all day.
Yeah, but see, the fact that you have to explain that means it doesn't work.
Should just be a wink to the listeners.
Yeah.
I mean, all my Drake people out there, they knew. They heard it.
Drake, you know, quota that you got to hit every week.
Nah, I only sprinkle it in sometimes.
You'd have been better off playing like a Taylor Swift breakup song. Like, honestly. Because that actually is more fitting
Dear John.
To me. But I hear you. I appreciate what you're trying to do, and I appreciate your Drake fandom. But just the fact that when you have to explain stuff, it normally means it didn't land.
Well, I knew I would have to explain it to y'all because I know y'all aren't huge listeners of Drake. But I know my Drake people out there. They got it.
You know, we are in the demo.
Anyways.
The irony is not lost on me with this. All right, Falcons. Last time today, I'm going to say this. Lost to the Dolphins yesterday, 34-10 at the Benz. Kirk Cousins made his first start this season with Michael Penix out. Drake London was also out. Zach Harrison, Divine Diablo, Jalen Walker. Bijan Robinson was held to 25 rushing yards. And we are letting you vent today. We are having a group therapy session because we're all in our feelings about this. Let's go out to Gwinnett. Dylan, pull up Xavier. Xavier, what's going on this morning? How are you feeling?
Hey, what's going on, T? How y'all doing today?
What's up, man?
Man, it's just another year, another Falcons year. I want to explain to y'all this is why you have this subsection, which includes me, the fans that's always kind of like pessimistic about this team.
Yeah.
Because, like I said before, I'm a huge fan of the Falcons, but I'm an even bigger fan of football. So, like, even during our wins, you know, it's not lost on me where I can see the certain flaws that we have, even in our wins, that I know is just not going to be good enough for the long run. Yeah. Like, it's not lost on me of all these yards that Bijan Robinson has. As we speak right now, him and Tyler Ajayi has the exact same amount of touchdowns. That's completely different than, like, your James Cook and your Jonathan Taylors and things of that sort. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think sometimes we go overrate this team with the players that's on that team. And we could get really amped and hyped about how good we're going to be. But this is why a lot of national critics kind of just doesn't really pay us any attention, because if you don't have that bias, you can kind of see this team. Yeah.
I agree with that. I think there's a lot of truth in what he's saying.
I think Bijan Robinson is getting a lot of love in the NFL.
No, I think he is, but that a lot of times when I look at his yardage and his numbers, they feel like empty calories, because when we need it to happen, it doesn't happen.
Well, because you can't knock anybody off the ball
exactly
inside the 20. That doesn't mean that Bijan Robinson is not one of the best players in football. It just means that's not how your team is built. That's also the reason why you have Tyler Allgeier in there, is that's what everybody wants, is him to get the ball inside. And those short yardage situations.
Just, like he said, it feels like empty calories to me. I completely agree with everything he just said. It's like, I am a huge Falcons fan. I'm always the optimistic. I think we all are in this room. But you got to call yesterday a spade a spade. And when you need to move people and you need rushing yards from your best player that might be the best player in the NFL, we can't get them.
But that's not something that we haven't said for a while now. I mean, the two things in this city I've been talking about literally my entire, like, radio, like media, whatever the hell you want to label it as, career, has been, why do the Falcons suck at short yardage, and why can't we get a pass rush? It's been those two things, and it's never changed.
Yeah.
Never. So I agree with some of what he's saying, but like, the reason we don't get as much love nationally is that we just don't win enough. That's it. Because when we were winning, Matt Ryan and Julio Jones were getting a lot of love.
Winning cures everything, man.
Nationally.
Always will.
Matt Ryan was hated here more than he ever was nationally.
Well, and tomorrow at 7 a.m., we're going to continue. We've been doing this every Tuesday, the good, the bad, and the ugly of every single Falcons game, because Bo and Mike are masochists, and they are going to watch the film. They're going to watch it and see what went wrong, and we will have that for you tomorrow, 7 a.m., if you want to hear the nitty-gritty of what went wrong. And Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is your home of live college football coverage in Atlanta this Saturday at 8 a.m. We get the day started with college football game time, brought to you by Window Nation. You can visit windownation.com, and by Alumni Hall. Shop UGA, Bama, Tennessee, and more. It's where fans shop. John Fricke, Chris Goforth, Abe Gordon, and Garrett Chapman will set the stage for all of the big matchups. Then we get a triple header of games starting at 11:30 with Ohio State hosting Penn State, followed by Notre Dame at Boston College and Oklahoma at Tennessee. It's all Saturday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm going to need a lot of that New Realm Brewing, the Allen Lager, to get over this. I mean, last night put me in. I went to the brown liquor last night. It was so bad.
I had a source tell me you were already asking for whiskey before the game was over.
Wow.
Yeah, Dylan, I was.
Inside source.
Can confirm.
I did. I told Dylan I needed a bottle for this show. So Allie told you earlier, you want to play golf with us? Play golf with Mike Bell, Carl Dukes, Andy Bunker. I'm not sure who else I can name in there, but Randy McMichael maybe. But, hey, go to the 99 The Game events page. Sign up for the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic. There are a few more foursomes out there.
Foursomes?
Foursomes.
Well, we got your snap, Dylan. Wow.
Missed it.
Dang. Dylan missed it, but we were able to hear your snap. So go sign up today, because it's all for Pets for Vets, and we really want to get this thing going, and we're very close to selling out, so, you know, finish it off for us. All right. I said that I really felt like I was doing the dad things, mm-hmm. and, you know, my falls have been easy. Football. And I get to maybe play a little Friday afternoon golf in the past and watch college football all day. This weekend was none of that. Wow. Friday, we go to the pumpkin patch.
Fun.
Wow.
Now, I did not realize there were so many freaking pumpkin patches, but Friday we go to the pumpkin patch.
Who are you?
We went to one up there. It's technically still considered Woodstock, but it was kind of in between Woodstock, Milton kind of area.
Yeah, I know where you're talking about. Yeah.
And it was like a smaller pumpkin patch, but it was just enough for, I don't know, a 6.5-month-old. So we just strolled her around and went on a hayride. Not a hayride, but what would be a hayride, but it's not. There's no hay anymore. You're just on a, you know, wagon pulled by a tractor. And it was fun. It was great. We took some pictures, you know. And I was like, man, yeah, let's get out of here pretty quickly. It was like a 2-hour visit. I was like, wow, this is shorter than I thought.
Man.
Well, it's going to be like an all-day thing. Right?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. Was that we were there just long enough?
In and out, man. That's the key.
So then, because this is like one of the only Saturdays I'm gone the next 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and I was gone last weekend. But this is the one real weekend where Amy had, where she's like, "Hey, let's get some Christmas pictures." So we went and did Christmas pictures Saturday.
Wow.
And already. Now I would prefer them to be at 10 a.m. So, you know, I don't miss any football.
She's going to look like a toddler at Christmas compared to what she looks like now. That's a long way off. Neither here nor there.
It's like a month and a half, dude. Oh, it's 2 months.
Yeah, 2 months.
It'll be November. You know that.
Yeah, yeah. I know, but it's at least 2 months.
Yeah,
it's
but you got to remember, Christmas cards go out like middle of November, right? Yeah,
2 months away.
So Christmas cards go out.
Neither here nor there. Apologize.
I'll come at you over there. Start with me. And so we did the pictures, and I'm like, oh, no. Photo shoots with my wife take forever. So I am just mindset-ed up that I'm going to be here till like the 3:30 kicks. I just know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently, it was a quick shoot. We were like, they were like 15-minute windows.
The best, man.
And like, so we're in there, and like, we're taking pictures, and then the girl goes, you know, I think we're good. And I go, what? She's like, yeah, I think I got everything. And I go,
we're out of here. Wrap it up.
You mean everything, with my jacket on, right? And I need to take the jacket off. We're going to need more pictures, right? She's like, no, we're good. And I was like, so we're done?
Yeah,
I go,
photo booth this thing.
I go, oh, get in the car as quick as you can.
I love that, man.
And I was so blown away.
Take the yes and run.
So we get out, and Amy goes, yeah, you thought that was going to take like 2 hours, didn't you? And I go, yeah. She goes, yeah, I didn't tell you on purpose. I wanted you to be surprised.
Nice
I
was work. Like, yeah.
I got
nice
home work. For the second half of the Doom games, dude.
That's like, where it's at right
I was
there.
Like, holy smokes.
That's where it's at.
Yeah, it was so good. It was so good. So I was very proud of that.
Who is this guy with these Christmas cards and pumpkin patches? Like,
I
who
know.
Is this guy?
The softer you know what I mean? Side of Bo.
Wow.
Daddy he's Squidbilly really, right there.
He's really changed.
Daddy Squidbilly with Anyways. A soft underbelly.
Well.
What?
Pause. Somebody. We're delirious at this point, guys. It's
we
been a
seriously
long day.
Are.
I'm sorry. I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it.
Bo, do you have something to say back before I close this out?
I don't even know.
Yeah.
He's
locked up over there.
I feel so awkward after that comment. That's my job, to make people feel awkward, Dylan.
All right. That's going to do it for us. We are delirious. For Mike, Bo, Dylan, and myself, Ellie Mack, thanks for being here today. The Steakhouse is coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget to...
3, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3.
What the heck?
Is bothering me.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Survivor means a new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we break down the game like nobody else can, from how the season is built to why the players make the moves they do. It is the ultimate companion to the show. So if you love Survivor, I think you're going to love On Fire. Follow and listen to On Fire with Jeff Probst on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.